welcome to the Not Alone Podcast. I'm Sam Fredrickson.
And I'm Jason Moitoso.
And we're back.
Are we?
We're back to descend further into the madness.
Are we all here, or are some of you left out there?
Yes. Okay. That is true.
All right, then.
I am a broken man.
So what are we on? We're on part three of 12? 17?
Of something.
The rest of our lives? I don't...
Three of 2020, baby. 2020 all the way. Aleister Crowley, 2020. Happy Super Tuesday, everybody. Go vote for Aleister Crowley. We are recording this on Super Tuesday.
It's fine.
What's interesting, before we get in, what's interesting is that as you descend through the internet into the wildest places and blogs by people who, like, there's something wrong with this. There are people who...
What is this? Are we talking about Super Tuesday?
Or no,
are we,
okay. Oh, no, sorry.
We're talking about, okay, our actual topic.
I left Super Tuesday behind. I'm talking about Aleister Crowley again.
Super Tuesday's gone with the wind?
As you... Well, we'll be by the time...
We're out of here.
We're out of here. So, and so will probably all of us, because this is like, today's the day. Let's do this for posterity. We're recording this like the day after like five people died from coronavirus in Seattle. So we'll just see where we are in 3 weeks when this releases. If this releases. If anything happens. In any case, as you descend through the madness.
Are you moving to Washington?
Yeah. If you don't remind me. Not to Seattle, though.
Just stay in the basement. You'll be fine.
That's literally the plan. Not just, even if there wasn't coronavirus, I would still just stay in the basement.
I can show you how to pickle.
And make some booch.
We'll do cannon.
All right.
Some fermenting.
There are people who, as you descend through the internet into its deepest, darkest, wildest places where people are just not very well, there are people who seem to believe that Aleister Crowley is still alive.
Naturally.
Not because he never died, but because he is like a transcendent evil, spiritual evil force that like cannot be killed.
He's Palpatine?
Shh, wait, that's a spoiler.
I haven't seen I haven't watched episode 9.
Well, you're not missing
I'm
out
just
on
guessing.
Much. Yeah, no, he is Palpatine, and he's like orchestrating all of the evil in the world.
Mainly because like that same trope of like the Sith Lord.
Right. Oh, that's
returns.
Right. The rule of two.
Well, no, I'm the whole Sith Lord is undying and ever present or whatever.
Yeah.
That was a trope that was already like covered in the Star Wars universe once. So I was like, Palpatine's probably back again. Why else would he laugh in the trailer? I don't know.
He guessed
I haven't
it.
Watched it. That's all that matters.
He guessed it. He figured it out.
Kind of over it.
Spoiler alert.
How about that Baby Yoda?
Baby
Let's get
Yoda,
back to Baby Yoda.
Baby. Anyway, you know what we have to get back to, even though I don't know that we want to, is Aleister Crowley.
Oh.
And specifically...
Demonic rituals?
Specifically...
Please.
We're not going to do too much ritual work in this series. It's not going to be like the alchemy series where
I
we
wanna
like sat
summon
down.
Demons.
See, and that's the thing is I don't. I really don't. And I don't even want to get close to the line of summoning demons. So...
Fine.
Some would say we should not have done this series then, and I think they'd probably be right. There's some
we'll get there when we get
there's
there.
Some spooky stuff okay. happening in the world. Anyway, Crowley, that's what we're talking about. Episode 3, Return of the Crow. What is episode 3?
Episode 3?
It's Revenge of the Sith, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or is it Return of the Sith?
Revenge
of the Sith. So episode 3, Revenge of the Rich White Boy Who Thinks That He's Better Than Everyone.
So white boy, got it.
Yeah. There you go.
Revenge of the Elitist.
So last time we talked about how the Golden Dawn was formed primarily through a series of cryptic documents called the Cypher manuscripts or whatever.
Right, that are totally legit.
They're totally legit and definitely weren't written in the same handwriting as the guy who says he discovered them in a box of old papers from 100 years ago.
Well, he had to rewrite them.
You do. Yeah. You do.
As he was, like, transferring them, right?
No.
Transcribing them?
The original documents
them?
Written in code were written in his handwriting.
So you're telling me... that our job here is done, it's a fake organization.
That doesn't mean our job is done by any means.
That just sounds like something that rich people do to just for kicks.
That is
essentially
all that these occultic societies are. They are literally just like rich people with enough time just kind of messing around, having a good time, invoking all of the evil angels. It's just
fun. Is that
fun.
Possible? Are any angels evil?
Well,
is that
yeah,
a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It depends on who you ask. But that's the whole idea, is that like Satan's like an angel who's evil.
Right. And fallen all of... angel. I understand
Yeah.
But aren't they just demons after that point, besides for Satan?
I mean, not clear.
Okay.
I don't think.
That's fair.
There are people who feel
strongly.
Very strongly. I am not one of those people. We'll talk about demons some other time, like literally in a few episodes, I'm sure. I haven't done the research for it yet, but I can feel it in my bones
It's
coming.
I got to bust out the guyliner.
So, we talked about the Golden Dawn.
Right.
It is formed by these cipher manuscripts. The cipher manuscripts supposedly had a link with a German countess called Fräulein Anna Sprengel. And Sprengel then died or something.
Yep.
And the Golden Dawn...
Became independent,
but with one terrible, shocking twist.
That's
well,
shocking.
It's not really shocking a twist. Basically, Sprengel was the only connection they had to the secret chiefs because she either was a secret chief or she was like talking to the secret chief.
So they need a new one.
They
need a new connection.
They
to the
need
chiefs.
Somebody to connect. And thankfully,
and walks in Aleister Crowley.
Nope.
No?
No.
Oh.
This all happens.
Oops.
This is all context. This all happens before Crowley even pops up on the scene. He's like a baby at this point.
Cool. What?
He's like a teenager at this
okay.
point.
Okay.
No, what happens instead is that the Order is rescued by the reincarnation of James I, the Scottish Wizard King. Now, here's the interesting thing about James 1.5 of Scotland and England.
Is it the fact that wizard is in his title?
You'd think so, except it's not in his title, and I've never heard anybody refer to him as the Scottish Wizard King.
That's just you?
Other than this man, William MacGregor Mathers, William Lydell, Samuel William MacGregor Mydell Mathers, whatever. We're just going to call him MacGregor Mathers, or Eminem. The thing about Eminem is that he believed he was the reincarnation of James 1.5. That also means that he believed that he was a Scottish wizard king. Why? I have no idea. James 1.5 was not a wizard king. He did write a demonology book, so maybe that's what he's referencing. Remember? We talked about that in our Scotland episodes. Yes. He was the one who like started the witch hunts, so we have that to thank him for.
Perfect.
Which, if you're interested in that at all, stay tuned. We're going to talk a lot about
witches.
We're
going back in time again?
We're going to talk a lot about witches. Not today or anytime soon, but it's coming. Now, Eminem would become Aleister Crowley's closest teacher. I'm going to keep doing this because
it's good.
Okay. It's good.
It's
good.
Right.
He would become Aleister Crowley's closest teacher during his time at the Golden Dawn, and is also pretty much the only founder worth talking about outside of the organization itself. Again, the other ones were just serial occultists, basically. That's all they did with their lives. Eminem, however,
if only.
He translated a number of different volumes, one of which was the Book of Abramelin, another document that was particularly influential in these circles and on Crowley at the time was the Kabbalah Unveiled, which is just a handbook on Kabbalah, basically.
And he made that candy, right?
Yeah. And then he filmed 8 Mile. Yeah, exactly.
Good to know.
He was born in London on the 8th of January, 1854. He joined the military. He wasn't very good at it. He decided to become a Freemason. Who amongst us has not joined the military, decided we weren't good at it, and decided to become a Freemason? It's just how
in
things
this economy?
Work.
Nah.
In this economy?
You can't do that kind of wild transition job-wise? No.
No.
Does he have experience being a Freemason?
You need 5 years experience to be a Freemason. 5 years experience being a Freemason to be a Freemason.
Yep.
Yes.
That makes sense.
He was initiated in October of 1877, and very, very quickly, within 3 months, in January of 1878, he attained the rank of Master Mason, which is, again, quite quick. It's in Freemasonry that he was introduced to a number of magical systems, notably Kabbalah, which I promise we're just about to talk to, because it is the centerpiece of most of these like magical systems. In 1882, he left the Masonry to join the Rosicrucians, the aforementioned SRIA, Societas Rosicrucia in Engels. He joined the High Council of that society after 4 years of membership. And with the support of SRIA members, that's when he really started to go heavy into the translation. Basically, they were sponsoring and funding his translation efforts, which is something that Crowley will come in and single-handedly do, thus kind of putting Eminem in his pocket. And hopefully he doesn't forget it's there and it gets all melty and weird.
Naturally.
Naturally. So it was around this time, especially during the time of the Celtic Revival, that Mathers picked up the name MacGregor, added it. He said, as far as he knows, or as far as we know, there's no reason for him doing this. He claims that it's because he was descended from the MacGregor clan in Scotland. And so he's just like bringing back his roots. Yeah.
Lovely.
He then claimed that he was the reincarnation of the Wizard King, which we talked about. Again, I have no idea why he thought that or why he thought that James I of Scotland was a Wizard King. He married a woman named Mona. That's interesting. Mona Bergson. She is the younger sister of a Nobel Prize winning philosopher, which just goes to show stupid doesn't always run in the family.
Why'd you have to do that? I don't understand why you had to say that.
Because I don't know why this person who won a Nobel Prize in philosophy, why his little sister is dating and marrying the man who thinks he's the reincarnation of the Scottish Wizard King. It just doesn't
spite.
Seem like a...
It's probably yeah, spite.
It is. She was probably a middle child.
When your older sibling wins a Nobel Prize, what do you possibly do to get attention in the house?
Your parents are just fawning
over
him.
How do you follow that up?
And so as... I guess that's true, because that's the stereotype, isn't it? That you rebel by dating somebody that your family hates.
Yeah.
Just like Eminem. Imagine if you brought...
Could you imagine the conversation the older brother and
no.
Eminem would have? Like...
I can't.
During Christmas...
It sounds terrible.
With booze involved.
He's
wouldn't
like
that be just
sitting there talking about like alchemy and the philosopher's just like, okay, Samuel MacGregor, Mathers, Lydell, Williams. I don't know if his name does have William in it. I think I may have just made that up at this point.
He's just adding in more names because he did anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
Exactly. We're just keeping the tradition here.
Perfect.
Now, Mona then introduced him to an heiress named Annie Horniman, who provided
Uh-oh.
Mathers... What? Okay. She will be instrumental in the fall of the Golden Dawn, as we'll see. But but she was also instrumental in the founding of the Golden Dawn. So I feel like that's her right.
Coming first, full circle, then.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. That makes
sense.
She
gave Mathers a job. He was like a custodian of a museum or something like that.
I could do that.
And in a... I know. Wouldn't that be dope?
It would.
It'd be really cool. I'd love to work in a museum. And then that way, this is stupid. That way, when I wake up late for work, my wife can kick me and say, "You belong in a museum!"
Because you're old?
Because she's Indiana Jones, and I'm a priceless artifact. Anyway, he also, in addition to giving him a job, she also just gave him tons of cash.
Nice.
So that's a plus.
That's what's up.
He then forms the Golden Dawn. He doesn't form it. Again, you have those three people forming it. But she's really the one who gives them the money to get it up and off the ground. But as you might imagine, Eminem is a fairly unstable person. Thus, he got fired from every job he ever had, including this one. And then he gets kicked off to Paris. He goes to Paris.
He's a wizard king.
He's not meant for this kind of menial labor.
Never.
Like you peasants do. So he then moves to Paris in 92. He and Mona live in Paris pretty much for the rest of their lives. They never come back. And he mooches off of Horniman for the next 4 years. Now, in 1894, the M&Ms, as it were, started holding public rites of Egyptian magic, performing the rites of Isis, which were of their own design, which he claimed to have translated from something or another, but I don't think he did.
Sure, he made them up. Got it.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a wizard king. It doesn't matter.
That's the other thing, is I didn't...
It's showmanship. That's what matters.
I didn't do as much research into this as I should have. Some people might say I did too much research into this as it was. But
I don't see Crowley anywhere.
I saw a few different little tidbits here and there about his translations not being reliable.
Some sprinklings?
Yeah, just the general idea that maybe he's Shrell not
crumbs that
good
that he is a con man?
Yeah, yeah. You know.
Wild.
As you do. So, in 96, Mathers, Eminem, and Horniman got into a bit of a spat because...
Oh, no.
She wanted him...
It was a battle? Would you... Say it's a rap battle?
No. Oh. No, I wouldn't.
Darn.
She wanted him to focus solely on the Golden Dawn, rightfully so. She's like, hey, Eminem.
I gave you all this money.
You don't have a job. I gave you a job and you messed that up. You live in Paris with your wife. You have no job. I bankroll your entire existence, and yet you won't work on the thing that I want you to work on. And he was like, I can't work under such stifling conditions. And so then he excommunicated her from the Golden Dawn.
That's,
which,
what?
At the very least, you have to respect him for sticking to his principles.
Well, so where did his revenue stream come from after that?
Crowley, basically, for the most part. Theoretically from
a new schmuck.
Yeah, theoretically from selling translations and stuff. But again, it's Crowley who bankrolled his translation processes and stuff after this. So, in any case... We'll look at that kind of more specifically.
How did Crowley fall for it?
I'm so glad you asked.
Okay, we're going to talk about
it.
We're going to get into it. Perfect.
See? Okay, flags.
Yeah.
Remember the flag on the prime minister?
Right.
The flag on, there was another one from last episode.
Alchemy stuff?
No. Oh, the flag from... Was it alchemy? Anyway, we've planted two flags to remember. We can only remember one. Plant another one right
That's
here.
The more important one.
When Jason says, how does Crowley fall for this? Plant the flag right there. We'll come back to it.
Because he wants to.
Now.
Want to be fooled.
As we mentioned, Eminem almost certainly was the reason that the other founder of the Golden Dawn was edged out. After Woodrow died, Westcott withdrew because of that weird sex magic paper being found. Well, I guess it wasn't sex magic yet. It was just magic paper being found in his professional things. And they were like, hey, you're a coroner. This makes us uncomfortable, you being a part of this organization. And he was like, that's fair. Understandable. I won't do it anymore. And so now we have simply this wizard king at the helm of the Golden Dawn.
There can only be one?
There can only... be one. See, up until this point that Sprangle died, or whatever, the Golden Dawn
Sprangle
had been more of... died. Whatever. The Golden Dawn had been more of a social club to just talk about magic.
Really?
Really.
Can we have one of those now?
Yeah, we can. It's called Friday Night Magic. And
too bad you're going to leave.
We can Skype. We'll have to.
We'll FaceTime.
To do this.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah,
excited.
Skyping is for peasants. We FaceTime.
Simpler.
Before...
I don't have to hear that stupid ringtone.
Do-do-do. Before... What is it? Sprangle died. Before
yes.
Sprangle died, the Dawn had been a one-level system. And everyone was on the same level, other than theoretically the three founders, just by virtue of them being the founders. And they just sat around and talked about magic and stuff. When Sprangle died, McGregor Mathers took it to the next level, and he instituted the second tier of the Golden Dawn, the inner circle, as it were. Again, back to that very Rosicrucian idea of nested realities. The inner circle was where we didn't just talk about magic. We did it.
Oh my goodness.
We perform ceremonial rituals, secret rites,
ooh,
and things like that.
Ah.
And it was pretty good.
How do you know? I'm sure it was secret and no one was able to talk about
that's
it.
That's just not true.
It's like a fight club.
As we'll see later, Crowley, not, well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. But again? We can thank Aleister Crowley for everything we know about this terrible, terrible organization. And also for destroying it.
Nice.
Which is always a plus.
Pass the flames, baby. Burn it up.
The Dawn had originally, in theory, been this two-circle operation. Again, you had Mathers at the center, just because he was Mathers. But he opens it up, restructures it. The Inner Circle, which Mathers would refer to as the Order of the Rose of Ruby and Cross of Gold, was allowed now for anyone to join so long as they were sponsored by an already existing member of the Inner Circle. So, of course, at first, it was just Mathers and he could control whatever he wanted. But as time went on, more and more people got inducted. And theoretically, it becomes more of a democratic system, but it doesn't really. In this second circle, the actual practice of magic takes place. The theurgy to command the gods, the scrying to see the future, astral travel, spells and witchcraft were all taken from the theoretical to the practical.
Cool.
Now, the creation of the second level also made apparent the secret third level, which was the level of the secret chiefs themselves, which, likewise, could only be accessed by initiation by the chiefs themselves, theoretically through such rituals as outlined in the book of Abramelin the Mage, which we'll remember Crowley had taken out an apartment. That was it. Plant a flag there at the apartment under the fake name of the Russian diplomat.
Right.
Boom, we did it. We found it. So, Mathers would remain...
Should I write this down?
Mathers was the only member, therefore, of the third circle, whose identity was known to the lesser orders, and as such, all members of the Dawn had to swear an oath of fealty to him and him alone. A good amount of people declined at this point and left the order, including Horniman. So again, she was kind of just not happy in general. He comes back and says, everybody who wants to be a part of this has to be under my allegiance. And she's like, no. And then he kicks her out, and everyone is like, Eminem, what are we going to do? That was all the money. What are we going to do without the money, Eminem?
We're going to sell talismans.
We're going to sell talismans.
And charms.
And books. We're gonna
and
go
potions.
We're going to go to the airport. We're going to sell people things at the airport. It's going to be great.
There's now, an airport?
No.
Now, I was going to say, you're a little off there.
That's true. Mathers would remain
in
France.
Go to the docks.
Go to the docks. Lots of great things happen at the docks.
Sure.
Magical things.
Murder.
Even.
What?
What?
Interesting. They're a tough lot. They can use some healing salves.
Or spells.
Sure, those
either too. One. Back in 1897, they're both equally as effective, I'm sure.
Yep.
This was back when they just gave people cocaine, wine, and were like, here, drink this. You'll feel better. And you did.
They weren't wrong.
You did. So.
Put that in their soda water.
Like I mentioned, after this, like, ousting, this shakeup in the Dawn, Mathers would remain in France for the rest of his life. It was into this organization, a far cry from the original Fraternal Meeting of Minds, that Aleister Crowley joined on the 18th of November, 1898. Around 2 years after he had undergone his first mystical experiences and really being interested in magic to begin with. So by the time he's there, this shakeup has already occurred. You have to be subject to Mathers in order to even be a part of the gang. And that's why Crowley, it doesn't explain why Crowley fell for it. We're going to do that a little later. Instead, it explains why Crowley worked so hard and succeeded to get Mathers into his pocket as soon as he joined the Dawn.
Cool.
Hey, everybody. It's Sam here with a quick mid-show break. I just wanted to go ahead and shout out some thank yous real quick. The first people we'd like to thank is Gert McDirt and Shoop Dog. These are people who gave us 5-star reviews and ratings on iTunes. And so we're going to go ahead and read Shoop Dog. And Shoop Dog says, Hi, Sam and Jason. I have been listening to your podcast nearly since your beginning. It's been a good run. I recently took a bit of a hiatus from podcast listening, partly to let the catalog of other shows I listen to build up again, and partly because I wanted to indulge in other forms of media for a time. I have returned, and I'm glad to say that your podcast was the first one I wanted to catch up on. You're both as charming and interesting as you ever were. I find myself smiling at jokes and mistakes equally, which I hardly do when listening to a podcast. What can I say that hasn't already been said about you and the show? Of course, you are perfectly balanced, as almost all things should be, in viewpoints and theories and the like. Your banter is engaging and entertaining, and it really does seem like I'm just in a conference call with you two, listening to you joyfully discuss everything from Fatima to Dogmen to the Flatwoods Monster. I look forward to enjoying many strange and wonderful topics shared by you both. You guys are truly not alone in this endeavor. There are so many of us taking this journey with you, and we are so glad and honored to be here. And I'd just like to say ditto right back to you. We are honored and joyful that so many people tune in every week and listen every week, and especially during this weird time in our lives, in all of our lives, we're just grateful that we can be here. Pursuant to that, if you didn't hear the announcement last week, we did go ahead and open up all of our Patreon content, other than like some of the unedited editions and stuff. But like all of the bonus episodes, the marathon edition, stuff like that, it's all open for everybody. And it'll stay open, I don't know, until European travel is no longer suspended. Let's say that. So that could be a while, or that could be a while. But in any case, we love you all, and we're grateful to be undertaking this journey with you. And we're especially grateful to this next group of people who, even though we opened up all of that content, they still decided to continue or to become patrons this last week. And we'd just like to thank Skolbio, Steph Giles, and Sticky Sound Zine. Guys, thank you so much for your support. It means a lot to us. Everybody, stay safe out there. Stay safe in here, I guess. Distance yourself socially, but not emotionally. I don't know. I'm going to let it go. We love you all. Just a reminder, we will be off next week because I am moving to Washington. Ha ha ha. I planned that well. So we'll be back the following week with another new episode. That'll be the last episode of the part one of the Crowley arc. However, it's not like we're taking a break. We're only making that subdivision based off of the first marathon edition, which if you really wanted to, you could go listen to next week's or 2 weeks from now's episode right now. We will have a bonus episode out for, I guess, everybody in next week, though. So you won't have to go a week without Not Alone if you don't want to. Anyway, let's get back. The initiation rites of a neophyte. Now, I said we're not going to get too much into the witchcraft, but I just want... Well, I didn't lie.
That's the only thing I'm here for.
All right. I want you to kind of get the idea...
Blood
of,
magic?
Of nope. This is the initiation rite. So this is literally the lowest level crap that you could possibly get from this. This is you were not part of it, and now you're at the very bottom.
Was it like summon a black cat?
Technically, it's not even...
Pull a rabbit out of my hat?
It's not even technically on the scale of magic yet. So basically, the way it works in Kabbalah, or for those of you not watching at home, Jason just put two separate circle fingers behind his head, and they came out as one. Woo! Oh, so
ta-da!
In Kabbalah, there are 10 different degrees, basically. That's very simplistic. We'll get to that in a moment. Therefore, in the Golden Dawn, there are 10 different degrees that you travel up. The first degree of the neophyte, for which Aleister Crowley was initiated into on that fateful day in 1898, was actually the zeroth degree. So, again, this stuff isn't, it's secret, but it's not the big secrets. But I just want to kind of give you an idea of what these operations and these rituals looked like. So, the initiation rites for a neophyte. the first level of the Order, were led, as all rituals were, by an individual in the role of Hierophant, or one who ushers one into the presence of the Holy. Now, it begins with the introduction of all the different members of the ceremony who say really dope things about themselves and their roles, like the Hegemon, who states, quote, "My station is between the two pillars of Hermes and Solomon, and my face is towards the cubical altar of the universe. My duty is to watch over the gateway of hidden knowledge, for I am the reconciler between light and darkness. I watch over the preparation of the candidate and assist in his reception, and I lead him in the path that conducts from darkness to light." Or the Hierius, who states, quote, "My black robe is an image of the darkness that was upon the face of the waters. I carry the sword of judgment and the banner of the evening twilight, which is the banner of the west, and I am called Fortitude by the unhappy," unquote.
So the first guy is basically like a guard and guide.
Yeah.
The second dude is... what? Oh,
he's something else.
I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is.
I'm not sure what he does. It doesn't just...
But he's around.
Doesn't this sound like... First off, did you ever have a secret society as a kid?
God,
with
no,
your friends?
I wish.
You didn't?
We're friends.
Yeah, okay, that's the problem in it. Me and my friend, had a secret society. We met at McDonald's because it was within like a half a mile of both of our houses and we could walk to it. We met there. And we made plans and then never acted on the plans. I don't remember what the plans were. But this is exactly the kind of crap that would come up with. Like these really cool, dope-sounding words that don't actually mean anything.
It is a long title.
It is a very long title. Now, once this polite round of introductions is made, the hall where the ritual takes is purified.
I mean, I just don't even... My black robe is an image of darkness that was upon the face of the waters. Which waters?
Well, that is a reference to Genesis 1, of course. So
I'm out of my
You're
element
out of your
here.
Element. Yeah, there's not a lot you can science out of this, is there?
No.
You can't really make that happen.
It's a dark robe you got there, bud.
is that Vanta black?
Must be nice and concealing. Got so, pockets in your robe?
after all
where you
of
keep
that
sword.
The room is purified by water by sprinkling it around, fire by swinging a censer around the four corners of the room. Then it is, well, later on, it's also purified by air and earth as well, I believe.
Nice.
Yes.
Earth, wind, and fire?
And water, yes.
And water, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
I was like, wait, that's only three. Then, after the purification, the greater officers, as they were known, walk around the room in what is called the mystical circumambulation, which is a fancy way to say walk around. They did a walkabout. A mystical one.
Were they stuck on a phone call? Or?
Yeah. They just weren't getting good reception. Now, this is followed by some hailing of the Lord of the Universe, and then...
What about the Master of the Universe?
Yeah, him too. Then the Curix, who is working on behalf of the Hierophant, opens the Hall of the Neophytes by saying the sun has arisen and the shadows flee away.
And the doors magically open?
No, they
the
open
hall?
Normally. A normal person opens. Right. If they were real magicians, they could get the doors to open themselves, but they can't.
True.
Somebody walks over and opens the door.
Makes sense to me.
It does, but it doesn't make sense to me.
Having servants is for.
Oh, Lord.
Underlings.
There is then a series of knocks which have a specific set of one-word responses in what appears to be a combination of Latin, Sanskrit, and Egyptian.
So a made-up word. Got it.
Well, no, they're actual words. They're just from
a made-up
Latin
language.
Sanskrit and no, they're individual.
Code. It's all code.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the actual initiation commences after all of this. That was all just prelude. Just kind of like this entire series that we're doing. It's all prelude, very little action.
Wait.
What?
All of that secret-y stuff.
Yeah, that was the introduction. The neophytes aren't even in the room. The candidates aren't in the room. They're doing this alone in a room by themselves, doing their mystical circumambulation and declaring that they wear a robe of darkness.
Invite the powers of the universe. Yes. Is that what it is?
Exactly.
Like, you gotta preheat the oven.
It is the preheating of the oven of initiation. Yes.
Okay, I'm
set
that
sucker to 425 degrees. Pop in a Papa Murphy's pizza. Love it, 425. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying.
What
I
about
love
April?
Papa Murphy's. Oh,
cool. Otherwise.
Then, after you pop in that beautiful mystical pizza, the Hierophant announces...
That's why it's a circle. Makes sense now. Okay, I'm getting it. We're making a pizza.
The Hierophant announces that the candidates will be admitted to the 0 = 0 degree of neophyte. We'll talk more about that in a moment. The candidate then knocks on the door, and before he enters the chamber, the Hierophant states that he is given permission for admission, and that they lose their original name once they enter the room, and will instead be known by their magical motto.
So everyone has an independent magical motto?
Yes, yes. And it's a misleading. It's misleading. The magical motto is a nickname, basically. Now,
okay, so it's not like... swearing to hold the truth and glory of magics and stuff. It's literally just like...
Bob. Magical
Frank.
Bob.
How you doing?
It's a tiny, just the tiniest bit more complicated than just calling them Bob. But not much. It basically
is old Latin and stuff.
It's typically either Latin or Hebrew.
Nerds.
Yep. And nerds. Learning Hebrew? Who would want to do that?
Not I.
Not me, who's quit my job and moving to a state that's riddled with coronavirus to make it happen. Woo! The magical motto.
You know, eat well, wash your hands.
Yep. Don't touch your face.
You're young, you're probably going to be fine.
I can't not touch my face. Can you?
I'm not touching my face right now,
Sam. He's not touching his face right now.
Confirmed.
Wow.
Amazing.
Can
do that. It's
magic.
Oh,
no, I touched my face! Hopefully, in like a couple of weeks, I'm not dead from coronavirus.
You will be fine.
Otherwise, this would be a very tragic episode, and I hope you play it at my funeral.
Pretty funny one.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So the magical mottos are basically nicknames that are used within the organization.
No, it's funny because you keep bringing it up like you're going to contract it. And then if you actually did, it would be...
tragic.
Kind of hilarious.
No, tragic.
I said kinda.
Oh my gosh. Not only do these mottos promote secrecy, but they also promote the separation of the magical and the mundane. See, Aleister Crowley does not do magic.
He also does not do mundane.
Stop it.
Oh.
Per Durabo, which is his magical motto, which means to the end I will endure, Per Durabo does magic, but Aleister Crowley doesn't do magic.
Oh, I get it.
It's like a Clark Kent situation.
Sure.
It's like Superman.
But once you put on the robe.
What?
I don't know.
Everybody knows your name?
Nope.
Okay.
I mean, do they have name tags? I would have.
No, they don't have name tags. That would destroy.
It's embroidered, isn't it?
It's
a
secret
motto.
Society.
With the motto.
Even with the motto, it's a secret society. You don't go announcing yourself. Gosh.
Do you not? Now, hi, everyone.
Now, often, once you advance to a higher degree, you would change your motto.
That just gets confusing.
It does get confusing.
What do you do for record keeping?
It's because you're a different person every time. You're a different person when you're out of the temple. You're a different person when you enter it. You're a different person when you enter what's known as the Vault of the Adept, which is the separation between the inner and the outer circle.
Hypothetically.
And you're definitely a different person when you join the Secret Chiefs.
Nice.
Nice.
Sick. You did it.
Shut up and let me talk.
Achievement unlocked. But, like, I'm assuming they had some sort of record keeping for, like, rituals performed or, things made.
No, absolutely.
But, like, would you do, like, their motto and then, like, their degree or their rank or whatever? Is that how you figure out who the actual individual was that performed or did or created X thing?
Well, they definitely kept records. I think they probably used their magical mottos on the records and said that Per Durabo had gone under the initiation for the third degree.
Right. But say... if I'm new,
okay,
and whatever his face is a different rank
Per Durabo
than what was originally written down at this whatever thing that I'm looking
at. Yes, you're not looking at it. Why
I'm
would you be looking at it?
I mean,
No, you're not. This is a secret society. You don't just get to get the membership records and read them.
But what I'm getting at is that it's confusing.
It is confusing. Intentionally. It's intentionally confusing. There are some people who don't want to be understood. They just want to make up funny names and play at magic in the dark rooms.
I mean, so do I.
Yes, that's fair. Another very famous person who was part of this that we talked about was Yeats, W.B. Yeats, yeeting it up. His was Daemon est Deus inversus, which means devil is God inverted, which is not a theologically sound argument, but that's fine. Or Mathers, using the Gaelic, this is going to be bad, Sraeochal Modrem, which is royal is my race, which is sounding a little,
yeah,
Nazi.
A little bad.
A bit of bad look for you, Eminem.
It's not going to look good in the future.
Like I said, Crowley chose his name, the moniker Perdurabo, which is Latin for I will endure to the
end.
Oh,
you get to choose it. You don't.
No, yes, you choose
get
it.
You don't get assigned it. Okay.
No. You choose it.
I wasn't sure.
There you go. There's more dope stuff that is said. Things like, quote, inheritor of a dying world, arise and enter the darkness. Or, the father of darkness hath hidden him under his wings. His limbs are still weary from the wars which were in heaven. Then the candidate is moved forward to an altar, where he is asked why he wants to join the order. I don't know. It's like a job.
Why are we talking about this?
It's like a job interview.
I mean, yes.
Why do you want to be a part of the organization?
So I don't know. I want to know dope magic stuff.
I need
duh.
Money. I need money. So yeah, here you're like, I need magic. But you say something like very noble. We're talking about this so people get an understanding of what went on in this organization. So the hegemon, who you'll remember is the one who stands between Hermes and Solomon with their face towards the altar of the universe, responds to the neophyte and states,
is
quote,
that so he can receive information?
I don't know why he stands between the pillars of Hermes and Solomon and faces the cubicle altar of the universe. I'm not sure why he does that. I would think that...
But he does that. That's what he does.
I would
think... Do you think he did that before and just gave him that sweet title?
Look here! Who is this man standing between the altars of the pillars of Hermes and Solomon with his face pointed towards the cubicle altar of the universe? I don't know. Let's call him the hegemon. Okay. That makes sense. He says to the neophyte, who just told him why he wants a job, quote, my soul wanders in darkness and seeks the light of the hidden knowledge, and I believe that in this order, knowledge of the light can be obtained. Then...
Got him.
Got him. Then the candidate says about 6 pages of different pledges, pretty much all of which amounts to, I won't tell anybody about what we do here, and I won't participate in dark magic. At one point...
Got him!
Suckers.
Fools.
At one point, the candidates have a sword that is put to their throat, and they swear that if they break such oaths, he is liable to vengeance.
Ah, so the guy in the robe that has the sword of judgment.
Yes. What was he?
I don't know.
Hershifer?
I'm not sure. I wonder if that was from a loot box or if he was just like unlocked through a quest line.
It's from Bespoke Post is what it is.
Interesting.
Now, after taking the oath, the candidate becomes the neophyte and is placed in an area representing darkness. Then we have another go around of mystical circumambulation.
What is it?
Literally go sit in the corner. Go. Go in the corner, Crowley.
Perfect.
I mean, Perdurabo. Go. Whatever, however you say your freaky name. Then they do another mystical circumambulation with the neophyte being opposed 4 times. They go around the room and twice the Guardian of the West, whoever that is like, you can't
come
in. They
got the sword again.
No. Is that?
Yeah.
Maybe it's him. That would make sense.
The sword and the robe of darkness.
Oh, okay. There we go. He requires purification and consecration. And then you have to do a Rumpelstiltskin on him and guess his name. And of course, his name is Darkness, because why wouldn't it be? Then he gets opposed 2 more times by the Guardian of the East, following the same pattern, calling the Guardian of the East by the name of Light Dawning in the Darkness. So there's that. After defeating these guardians by way of talking to them, the neophyte... And
was it like riddles?
It should be remembered. Yes, it is riddles. And it should be remembered that they do have a sword. So that's quite a riddle answer to take out a dude with a sword by riddles alone.
Clearly the sword's ceremonial.
After defeating these guardians...
You don't even get, like, a shield.
The neophyte, guided by the hegemon, who, as you remember, faces the cubical altar of the universe...
But is also guiding? Does the altar move?
No, and does that's actually a good question. I don't know if he, like, sidesteps it. He might just be crab walking the entire time.
Sorry, I gotta face this direction.
Sorry, just...
But follow come me after this me. Way. Oh, that was
Or maybe it's a metaphor.
I think it's... Might be a metaphor.
I think it could be.
Maybe
you know
it's
what?
His normal station. Just
maybe
like the
he's
ferryman.
Like Zoolander and he can't turn.
I think you busted this wide open.
I think so. The hegemon then approaches the cubicle altar at the center of the universe, which, of course, the universe is the room. I don't know if you've caught into that. And there is a literal altar in the middle of the room that the neophytes are taken to. There, the officers invoke a blessing on the neophyte, raising a collection of magical wands or swords. And also swords.
Wait. Both. Okay.
Yes, both. So magical swords and normal swords. Which are, it sounds as though the magical swords would be more cool in that case, but they're not.
Why, wait.
What?
Why wouldn't the Sword of Judgment be magical? I feel like definitely got some sort of magic going, right?
It's just wouldn't a it? Sword. You just kill
just
somebody
a name?
With it. Yeah. Okay. It's like the Sword of
But
Doom.
How will it judge? Does it have scales on it?
I think that the Sword of Judgment is used to render, to fulfill the verdict of death. If you break. The sword is not a...
So
you
it,
know
itself
this, that the
does
sword
not...
is not a sentient being.
I don't.
Okay, sorry.
We're talking about magic.
I guess so. It's a magic talking sword.
You know, like the sorting hat. Except the Sword of Judgment.
Well, there you go.
And some dude just has to carry
it
him around.
It sorts you into dead or not dead.
Yeah.
And then it does it. Well, maybe. Who knows? Who knows? They raise their wands and their swords, and they create basically like a cage shelter kind of thing over the head of the neophyte with all of the tips touching.
Okay, I
so
understand.
So there's that. Then the candidate is welcomed into a life of living beauty and light, and upon him is bestowed the signs and the tokens of the grade, which includes... a special way of stepping. It's like a handshake.
Like a skip.
Like it's like a special hand. It's like a secret handshake, but instead it's just a way that you move your
foot.
You
walk around?
Yeah.
You shake it all about?
You shake it all about. This, in the neophyte, is a short step forward with one's left foot, then stretching out both arms while leaning forward to signify the searching for light in the darkness, then placing the left forefinger on the lips...
So
to
it's...
indicate silence. Yeah, that's literally it. Ooh! And you gotta step forward, too. Woo! Dude, you did it. That was good. That was,
bingo.
I think that was exactly it. If they had seen that...
And then he has to follow up with paying his tremendously large membership fee, right?
Yeah, I don't know how the dues worked in this, but I would assume so. after you learn your special step, you also learn your special grip, which is, in this case, again, just how you grab something. Yeah. In this case, the neophyte places his left foot forward to touch the foot of the officer, extending his right hand to try to grab the officer's hand, failing, trying again, and then touching finger to finger.
E.T., phone home style?
This obviously represents the dude, the neophyte, struggling through the darkness to find truth, grasping at it, missing it, and then grasping it once more.
When the finger lights up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, okay. This all makes sense.
Then you get
this
a secret password.
Oh, God.
This password.
Secret name, secret walk, secret handshake,
yep.
Basically.
And now secret word.
Secret word.
Yep. And this one is called, for the neophyte, it is the Harpar Krot, which is whispered into the ear of, whispered into his ear by another, which they claim is the name for the Egyptian god of silence, who we call Harpocrates. So there's that. The initiate is then given a password, which is changed every equinox.
Interesting.
Yeah. Kind of just keep you out of the temple if you don't know it. So, finally.
Hey.
Rude. Finally, there is a purification and consecration that follows. The neophyte has a rope that has been bound around him three times. It's removed from him. There is another mystical circumambulation. This time, you do not have to fight the guardians. You can just go right past them. So that's a perk.
Cool.
Then the Hierophant explains all of the symbolism of everything in the temple to the neophyte, which I'm not going to do because it would be the rest of this episode and a whole nother one. And then the Curix announces that the initiate has been initiated into the secrets and mysteries of the neophyte grade. The Hall of the Neophytes is then closed. Thus stood Aleister Crowley on November 18th, 1898, a fully initiated member into the mysteries of the neophyte, a full-fledged member of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, and ready to embark on the greatest adventure of his lifetime, which would end with him ascending to the level of a god. Finally, after the ceremony, Crowley received that which he had coveted, had desired maybe even more than the initiation into the society itself, the sheets befitting the rank of neophyte. See, what happened, the way that the Dawn worked, is that when you... What?
Nothing. I'm following.
When you, specifically you, listener, join the Golden Dawn, you are given the sheets befitting the role of neophyte.
Are they paper sheets or are they like bed sheets?
They're paper sheets. I wish they were bed sheets. That would be so impractical. It'd be wildly, massively
Take these around.
Take these everywhere. Learn them. Because that's what you do. You learn the sheets. And then once you've learned the sheets, you're able to go on to the next level of whatever. So that's all it is. So Crowley, poor Crowley, had been like, really? Oh my gosh, I found a real life alchemist. And then I found a real life mage. And now I've found the real life Scottish wizard king. And now...
Gee willikers, everything's just working out.
Now I'm going to have in my possession dark, deep, powerful magics. But... unfortunately, when he got the papers befitting the rank of neophyte, they were just stuff he already knew. So that's, again, same comparison here to me going into high school as a freshman, thinking I was going to learn all sorts of stuff and realizing it's all just the same stuff.
Weird. That's what happened for me in college.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's, yeah, exactly. You probably suffered from the same thing.
Depression?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Woo. Anyway. So, Crowley is quite not happy, I would say, about this.
Really?
Now, again...
he learned four secret things.
He got a secret name. He walked around the room three times.
Two riddles.
He bested four riddles.
Was it four?
Because he's opposed four times.
That's
total.
Right, that's right. Four
besting two
riddles.
Guardians of the East and the West... and he's just not happy about it. He just doesn't think it was worth his time. And I agree, it wasn't. And it's not worth your time either. And I'm sorry I took you through all of that.
I kind of lost all hope that it was ever going to end.
Yeah, no, I know. That was me too. And that's why I didn't include like the other half of all of the information.
Cool. So anyway.
So he gets these sheets.
Yes. And he doesn't like the sheets because he knows
he
the
doesn't
sheets.
Like them. So he's thinking.
They're not very secretive at all.
No, they're terrible.
It's all normal.
Basically, what it is memorize the Hebrew alphabet. That's what he's told to do.
Ah.
And then...
wax on, wax off.
Memorize the 10 Sephirot of the Tree of Life, which we're going to talk about
Paint
in detail
fence.
Here in a moment. Yes. Yeah, sure. Basically, though, Crowley goes to his friends, Baker and Jones, and he's like, guys, this is lame. This sucks. What the heck?
You're like, it's secret.
Yeah.
Like, why are you saying
Perdomo. They tell him, though, okay, listen, you're right. It does suck. Being a neophyte sucks. Everybody agrees. However, here's the thing, Crowley.
The dues are wildly expensive.
Here's the thing, Crowley, is that the first order, the outer order, comprised of 0 through 4, those degrees, It's the crap order. There's nothing to it.
Really?
You just go and you just learn all of these things that you, Crowley, probably already know. But again, it's not until you get to the secret or the second level, known as the Vault of the Adept or the whatever I said, the rosy cross and the golden whatever order by Mathers, that you actually start doing things. So basically their advice was just stick with it. We know it sucks, but just stick with it for a minute. Once you get through 0 to 4, that's when you're actually going to be able to do it. And especially remember, as a neophyte, you're not technically even in the order. You are the 0 equals 0 degree.
Oh, you're a pledge.
Yeah, exactly. That is it. Yeah, you're
just
a pledge. You're just a pledge. So when you get to the next degree.
Wow, that's a lot of effort for a pledge to become a pledge.
Yeah. It's like a whole afternoon wasted.
Sounds about right.
That you'll never get back. Once you get to the second
degree. Well,
Crowley
lives forever, so we're fine.
That's true.
He's fine.
We're not fine.
No, we are fine.
Because of him. But he is fine. The next level up would be that of the Zealoter, which is the 1 degree equals 10 degree level. Now,
why not just do 10 degree? Why does it have to be?
Why is it
1 degree equals 10 degree? What? Why? Why is that?
I'm
that,
so glad
does
you
make
asked.
Any sense?
Yeah, no, I'm so glad you asked. Let me
it
check.
Feels convoluted here. Just for convolution's sake.
Well, that's because it is. that's how these things kind of work.
Wow.
All right. So
we did the hokey pokey.
We did the hokey pokey. We turned ourselves about, and that left us here at the end of this episode. I know what you're thinking.
That was fast.
What
it
are you talking
by.
About? We didn't even talk about anything. And I would
you're
just
right.
like to say that's how do. I felt researching all of that for like 3 hours. So you got off lucky, friends. I'm also the one who has to edit this. So you got off lucky, friends. In any case, the reason that, to answer Jason's question, the reason
I asked something
that it's not just the first degree
oh.
or the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth or the tenth, but rather that 1 equals 10 is intrinsically bound up in the system of mystical Judaism known as Kabbalah or Kabbalah, I think is how it's actually pronounced. Which is going to be what we focus on next episode. That's right. That's it. That's all I got for you today.
Oh, thank goodness.
I hope people enjoyed that. I felt like it was like funny, if not informative.
I had a blast.
Ah!
Look at that.
That was good.
Oh,
I'm going to keep that in.
I
was
going to
cut
don't,
that out.
I'll be sad.
Yeah, I was going to cut that out as like a brief aside, but I got to keep that in now.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, we will be back next week to talk about Kabbalah. And then I promise I'm going to stop.
The dark arts?
No, Kabbalah is not the dark arts. And I am actually really excited for Kabbalah because I am. And I have spent a lot of time learning about it that I'm probably not even going to talk about on the show because you don't need to know everything I've learned. But if you want to, let me know. Maybe we'll do like a bonus episode about it. In any case, next week, we'll have at least a brief primer on Kabbalah, and then ideally moving through the context and back into the story after our brief sojourn here in the context zone of Greater Crowlandia.
Okay.
All right.
So
with that in mind.
You can find us on the internet.
Wait, do you want to say anything?
No, I'm
anything
good.
About
let's
the
roll.
Anything?
Let's roll the outro.
Let's go. You can find us on the internet. I dare you find us on the internet.
Good luck.
Slay our avatars and claim your rightful spot as podcast host. That's right. We're announcing a competition where if you come and kill one of us, you get to take our place on the show. I'd feel like I shouldn't even make that joke because
no,
I don't know who's listening to this.
I'm going to get murdered.
Please don't murder us. But
just like, you
whatever.
Know, tag.
And now I have coronavirus. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Wash your hands first.
Please wash your hands. Please stay safe out there. Keep an eye and ear on
anyway,
what you're supposed to be doing.
You did last week, so it's my turn.
You sure?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Everywhere. Sure. The internet.
Patreon. iTunes reviews. Have at it.
Remember, whether you're wielding the sword of judgment or besting 4 riddles, you are
not alone.